And we're holding on Chof Beis Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that there's 2 types of birds you can bring as korbanos, doves and turtle doves. Turin are turtle doves and bnei yoina are regular doves. We said regular doves are kosher only if they're babies, only if they're little. Turtle doves are kosher only if they're adults. And the Mishnah had said that either kind, when they have yellow feathers, Rashi explains specifically around their neck, are posel, because when doves develop those yellow feathers, it means they're already older. When turtle doves develop those yellow feathers, it means they're still babies. Gemara had explained that once those feathers turn from yellow to golden color, Rashi said like reddish gold, and iridescent, then at that point, then the turtle doves are kosher for korbanos. So the Gemara says boyer abzera. Suppose a person says, I obligate myself to bring an oila from either Turim or Bnei Yonah. So he hasn't specified what kind he wants, what kind he plans to bring. Now, what he brought was actually ones of one or the other kind that have the yellow feathers. We said in the Mishnah that neither kind is good for korbanos, but the question still, Reb Zera asks, is mahu, what would be the din? Is there maybe a possibility that it would be fine in this case? Do we say sveika havi? Do we say fundamentally it's a suffix, it's a doubt whether at this point these birds, this part with the yellow feathers is sort of like, do we consider, we're not sure at that point whether the bird is a baby or an adult. So therefore, for Nafik, so one way or the other, he's going to be Yotze, because he said he was going to bring either Turim or Bnei Yonah. He brought one Turd and one Ben Yonah, both of them with the yellow feathers. We can look at it that, look, if at that point the bird is a baby, then fine. He brought the Ben Yonah, and at that point it's a baby, and we're fine. Or we could look at it that at that point it's an adult, where he brought the Tur, which is an adult, and therefore we're good either way. So one way or the other, we're good. Oduma of a nafik, so therefore he'd be yotze, his requirement. Oduma bury a havi, or maybe we say that it's actually considered a separate stage of its own. The time with the yellow feathers is actually a third stage of its own, neither child nor adult, but a nafik, so then he's not yotze because the turtle wants that he should bring something davka in one or the other of those stages, and here it's neither one. Tosfos brings up the point that, wait a minute, what do you mean? So what is a suffix? The fact is, the Kohen can't offer it for him. If he brings these birds to the Kohen's going to tell him, I can't do this. So first of all, Tosfos says, you could be talking about, let's say the Kohen did bring it where he wasn't supposed to, but he did anyway, was the guy Yotze. Another possibility, Tosfos says, once he brings it to the Kohen, maybe already his Yotze is neder. In principle, one of them could be brought as a korban, even though in practice we may not be able to, but since in the first possibility, if we say it's a suffix, in theory, one or the other of them could have been brought, then maybe that would be good enough. There is a good deal of discussion about that, whether in fact a person who says he's going to bring a korban is yotze as soon as he brings it to the kohen, or only when it actually gets offered on the mizbeach. And there's a good deal of discussion back and forth about that. In any case, would we say that there's a possibility that he might actually be Yotze? And Tosfos goes on to say we might actually be talking about a case, this is by a bomber, by a private Mizbeach, during the times when korbanos could be born on such things, but then Tosfos says that doesn't really work. Omar Rava Toshma, so Rava says, come, let's hear and prove from our Mishnah. We said prap tchilas atziruv from the Braisa before, prap tchilas atziruv shebezeh b'shebezeh shepossel, that as opposed to the beginning of the yellow feathers in both of them are possel. We said in the Braisa, we actually learned from a posik, we had a whole derivation from the posik to say that when they have the yellow feathers that both of them are possel. So it says, Rava, Iyamet B'Shlem, Ber Yahavi, if you say that that stage is a stage of its own shaper, then we understand why the Torah needs to exclude it. The Torah wants to tell you, not a matter of a suffix, but a matter of that even in a case like you just described, Reb Zera, where you could say he could be Yotze one way or the other, the fact is it's a third stage, which is neither child nor adult, and therefore you're not Yotze, and the Torah is possibly to tell you that. Eli Yamet Sveika Havi, but if you say the whole thing is only a doubt in the first place, And therefore, in principle, again, we could be bringing it, and a person could be Yotzer. If Tzrich Kralim or Tisveka, would we even need a pasuk to tell us that you don't, that a suffix is excluded? Hashem has no suffix. Hashem knows for a fact what it is. So then you bring it as Totem or Ben Yonah. But the fact is, fine, we human beings can't know. So therefore, in practice, we wouldn't be able to bring it. But why should we need a pasuk to exclude a case of suffix like that? So doesn't that show that it really is a barrier third stage? Tosfos gets into a long discussion over here that many times we do seem to find things where the Gemara says that a pasuk comes to tell us to exclude a case of a suffix. And so Tosfos discusses why in some of those cases you might need that in this case over here. Again, we're saying hypothetically you could bring both of them and be yotze one, and we don't need to do that. There are other cases where we'd say that all of them are potter, or all of them are tahor, or whatever, or different things like that. We may need a pasuk to tell us that that's the case. You can have a case where it is in principle to figure out. After all, sometimes the situation can clear up, and here would sometimes the situation can't actually be cleared up. Over here we could, because eventually it will develop the proper color feathers, et cetera, et cetera. So the Gemara says that's not a proof, really, because we could say, you know why the Pasuk is telling us, you might say that actually the Pesukim that the Braisa had brought before to say that you can't bring anything other than baby Bnei Yonah or adult Totem, maybe it's actually coming to tell us a different point. Maybe it's coming to tell us that you can't use the fact that we're learning about the yellow feathers is only an asmachta, is only a hint for something that would really be not necessary for the Torah to tell us, but rather it is actually there to tell us things that we do need to know, namely certain kinds of birds that are possible for a korban, nirba, where it was used for bestiality, the nevad, or where it was worshipped as a avodah zarah. Now, why would we need to be told that? Isn't it obvious that you can't bring those as korbanos? The reason is sakhdat chamina. You would have thought, without the psukim telling you, you would have thought as follows: where do we know that such animals can't be brought in the first place? The pasuk says, after it describes animals that have a mum that you can't bring them as a korban, it says they're mashchasa, maloshan ashchasa, they're destructive, their destruction, their corruption is in them. Mumbam, there is a mum in them. The Tanadre Rabbi Shmuel. Now we learn in a braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, what is that pasuk adding? Komokam shenema hashchasa. Whenever the Torah speaks of hashchasa, of destruction or corruption or whatever, ena el dvar erev avodas kechavim. And that means we're talking about things of arayas or things of avodah zarah. And in this case, that would be Rebea Benirba, an animal that was used for bestiality, or Avodah Zarah, where it was worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Which, by the way, even, for example, let's say a person were to worship his own animal, the animal doesn't become also Bahana. You still are allowed to use that animal. You'd be allowed to shecht it, eat its meat, etc., because it's called, there's no Tfisas Yad Adam. There's no human involvement in the creation of that animal. But it can't be used for a korban, we're saying. So where do we know hashchasa means ervan avodas kachavim? Dvar ervadichtiv kihishchas kolbasa is darkei al aretz. The pasuk says before the mabul that every flesh had corrupted their way on the earth, which means people, as we know, people were doing all kinds of forbidden relations. Even the animals were mating not with their kind, etc. So therefore, Rashi mentions in particular, we find they were taking other people's wives and animals and so forth. So therefore, we send the Torah calls that hishchis. Avodas kechavim, and we know that hashchasa refers to avodah zarah. Dichtiv pen hashchisin v'asichin lacham peso, because the pasuk says Hashem, Moshe tells the Jewish people, warns them, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves idols. So therefore, the Torah, by telling us ki mashchasim b'hem, is telling you not only you can't bring an animal with a mum as a korban, you can't bring an animal that was used for erev avodah zarah either. Now, that's as far as land animals. That you can't use them as korbanos, but you would have thought the rule would be as follows: where are we learning it from in connection with mumim? Well, we would say kol sham mum posel boy. Well, any kind of creature where if it has a mum, you can't bring it as a korban. Dvar erva v'avodas kechavim posel boy. So those are the kinds where if it was used for arayas, it was used for avodah zarah, then you can't use it as a korban. B'chol she'ein a mum posel boy, you would say that any creature where mum is not relevant, a mum does not make it posel, ain't right erva, v'avodas kechavim posel boy. So you would think, then neither does avodah zarah or erva make it posel either. Well, the oifer, the honey oifers. Now, when it comes to birds, hovalet possible humumma. The fact is, a mum does not possible a bird. Minor mumim, that is. We have a list of 70 or so mumim that apply to animals. Most of them do not apply to birds. Major thing, and Rashi gives an example, let's say a cataract on the eye or a slit in the eyelid or whatever. Large things, somewhere if it's missing a limb, that's something else. There you have there you have an issue called Hakriveu Nolafecha Secha, where the pasuk says, when you offer such a thing to your governor, he wouldn't even accept that. How much more so you can't offer it to Hashem? So whereas Mechusar Eiver, we learned about it at the end of Zvachim, even Goyim can't bring Karbonus on a Mechusar Eiver. But in any case, regular Mumim do not apply to birds. The Amar Meir, as we learn in a Braisa, Tamus for Zachrus for Behema, the fact that an animal has to be Tumim, has to be perfect without Mumim, and that certain Karbonus have to be of males, applies only to animals. Vein Tamus for Zachrus for Oifus, those concepts do not apply to birds. Even you have, for example, an Oila or a Chatas, those are the only two types of Karbon that you can bring from birds. By animals, an Oila is always a male. A Chatas is generally a female, sometimes in rare cases a male. But that distinction does not apply to birds. You can bring either a male or a female as an oil or as an achatas. So you would think, that maybe having been used for bestiality or having been used for avodah zarah wouldn't passel them either. Kamash Malan, and that's really what the pasuk min hatorim and min bnei ayona is teaching us. So even though the braisa that we learned before had said that really that we're learning from that, the fact that you can't bring old doves or young turtle doves, there is that, but we're saying that's not really what the Pasuk is coming to teach us, because in fact you could say the Pasuk is not telling us about a case for Suffolk, maybe it doesn't need to, and really the Pasuk is telling us, and really the Pesukim are telling us something else about this business of Nevad and of Nirbav and Nevad. So there's no proof necessarily from that Braisa that in fact in Reb Zera's case, where you said, I'm going to bring some kind of bird, either turtle, ben yona, and you bring one with the yellow feathers, should we say that if the Kohen offered it, or the different other possibilities that Tosfos brought up, that he shouldn't be Yotze, maybe indeed he would be Yotze. We can't really prove one way or the other. Tosfos points out that, what are we talking about? You take a Braisa and you're going to undo what the Braisa says. The Braisa clearly said, you learn from those Pesukim about the Ben Yona, about the older doves or the younger turtle doves, and you're going to take that apart and say that the Pasuk is being used for a whole different Drosha. So Tosfos discusses that the fact is we do need that Pasuk for this Drosha. The fact is we do find elsewhere that this drasha is being used. So all we're saying over here is the braisa that in that case, then really we are using, we do know that we do learn it from that pasuk, and therefore we have reason to say that the braisa, when it was saying that we learned something else from that pasuk, is only an asmacht. And Tosfos goes on to discuss different other angles on this whole point as well, about whether we're actually trying to contradict the braisa, or whether we're learning, whether we can possibly learn two things from the pasukim over there. Fine. So the Gemara leaves Reb Zera's question open. So it's left as a suffix, and the result is you can't actually bring it. Tosfos points out is that you have twice as min haturim and min bnei ayona. So therefore, you can learn from them. There's one for Nirba and one for Nevad. Tosfos points out again that maybe you could learn also from them this matter of maybe you could also learn this matter about the yellow feathers as well. The Gemara leaves Reb Zera's question open. Now, having mentioned this point, then the Gemara brings another point. We know when it comes to animals, you have in particular with sheep, when it comes to male sheep, you have a difference in halacha between the different ages. You have a baby male sheep up to a year old, it's called a keves. And in particular, when you're bringing it, there are certain karbonas that have to be a keves, certain ones that. When you bring a keves, when you bring it as an oil or a shlomim, then you also bring with it nesachim, as we learned about a great deal in Menachos. You bring with it a certain amount of flour and oil and a certain amount of wine. Now, then the Torah tells us you also have an ayal, which is an adult male sheep, a ram, which is an ayal is defined when it's 13 months old or older. So then the Torah says you have a different amount of nesachim for it, for a sheep a sheep, meaning anything other than a ram. So a baby male or an adult or a baby male or a baby adult female. Then you bring one isar and a flour, mixed with 3 logim of oil together, and along with 3 logim of wine. For a ram, an adult male sheep, the respective amounts are 2 asronim, 4 log, and 4 log. Now you have a stage in between, given that a keves is up to 12 months old and a ram is from 13 months old and older. What happens during that 13th month? It's called a palgus or pilgus. We learned about it in Menachos that you would have to bring for it the Nesachim for a ram, but then actually you're not Yotzer because you have to bring either a sheep or a ram and a pilgus or palgus or something in between. Where the word pilgus comes from, some Mephoshim explain it stands for plag das, which means half large, because it's halfway towards being a large animal, a ram, but it's not all the way there yet. The Aruch HaSholem instead brings, there's a Greek word palax or something like that, it means something like a teenager, halfway between a child and an adult, so therefore we're calling this in-between stage palgus, or according to that, I guess it would be pronounced palags or something like that or whatever, which means basically a teenager, like between a baby sheep and an adult ram. In any case, Boyd Abzeda said Abzeda has a similar question as far as that. So again, a person says that I'm going to bring as a korban, that I'm going to bring either a ram or a sheep. The heavy palgus, and now he brought this palgus, this animal, in its 13th month. Same idea as with the birds, in other words. He said, I'm going to bring one or the other, whichever one I want, and he ends up bringing a palgus. So Mahu, what would be the din? Would he be yotze his neder? Now, we have to consider, there's a machloikus about what we do with a palgus as far as nesachim. Again, we learned about it in Menachos. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, you would have no question, because according to him, Dama Beria Havi, there's no question. Rabbi Yochanan says in the relevant sugya in Menachos that such an animal is considered a beria. It's not that the 13th month is a suffix, is it an adult or is it a baby? It's actually definitely a third stage, which is neither one or the other. It's not. Namely, we learn in a Mishnah the Mishnah is actually in Masech Tepara. We learned about it in Menachos. He krivoi that if a person does offer a palgus as a korban in Masech Tepara, it talks about it starts out the proper age for a parah adruma and for the eglah adrufa, and so then it goes to talk about the proper ages for various other korbanos. So it says if it mentions this concept of a palgus, and if a person offers it as a korban, maybe all of niske ayil, he does have to bring for it the proper nesachim for a ram. Namely the 2 asronim of flour and the 4 logim each of oil and wine. Like, you know, the Gemara actually learned in Menachos actually that we learn it from a pasuk that it says oil la ayil, where we learn from the word oi, or that it means also in this case, that in oil la mizivchai, however, it does not work for his obligation. If he was obligated to bring a ram or to bring a sheep, then he's not yotzeh it. Now, so the Tana just says that he's not yotzeh, but it doesn't say why. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says, the reason, how do we know that he would bring the Nesachim of an Ayil, like we just said, Oy la'ayil, l'rabbis is a pilgus, because since the Pasuk says, Oy la'ayil, then we learn from that you also have to bring these Nesachim not just for a full-fledged Ayil, but also for a pilgus. Now, like we said before, the Torah is not going to tell us something that, for a case of a Suffolk. So if Torah is telling us clearly with the word oy, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you have to bring the Nesachim in this case, then necessarily it must mean that Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's actually a third stage. You have Keves, then Pilgus, then Ayil. Each one is a distinct stage, and the Torah is telling you in those last two stages you have to bring the Nesachim of a ram. Because otherwise, in other words, the point is, Rashi says something else also. If it was just a matter of a suffix, sure, what you would do is you would bring the larger nesachim, and you would say, if this thing is actually an ayil, then here's the larger amount of nesachim for it. And if not, then I'm bringing the extra as a korban, because as we learned in Menachos, you are allowed to bring nesachim by themselves without a korban with them. So the very fact that, uh, so, So the very fact that the Torah tells us you have to bring this amount of Nesachim implies, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and he understands the Mishnah to be saying that it really is a third stage of its own. So then Rabbi Zeira's question wouldn't even begin, because if it's a third stage of its own, of course, if you said, I'm going to bring a ram or a sheep, then you're not Yotze because this is neither one. The question would be, according to Bar Pada, who argues is related from the mayor in Minin Minachos, he says, in fact, that you could do that. You could bring this animal as a korban. It is a suffix, but what you would do is you would make the tenai that we just said, that you would say, if this really is an aisle, then here's the full amount of Nesachim for the aisle, and if not, then it's a sheep. Then one Isoran of this will be for that, and the other Isoran will be for Nedava, and the same thing with the wine and the oil. If it was a barrier, you don't make such a thing. Tosfos actually gets into the question, how exactly would you do that? The fact is that we have, it's one thing as far as the wine, the extra wine you could pour into the shissin, but the flour and oil, you have to mix them together and you have different consistencies, and how would such thing be possible if you do it like that? So Tosfos ends up giving an answer that if you're saying it's a minchas nesachim, the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, and you can make it tonight, and we don't really care if it was mixed improperly, because you're not taking a koimetz from it anyhow. Okay, so now the question would be, me, I mean, I over kevis masna, bibriya le masna, would we say then that he can make a tenai if it's a ram then this is how it'll be, and if it's a baby sheep then this is how it'll be, but maybe you could say that he only needs to make a tenai on whether it's an aisle or a kevis. He does not need to make a tenai also in case it's a barrier, in case it's a third thing. Because now we would say, maybe according to Barpada, the question would be, would Barpada consider it a barrier, a third stage of its own, or would he consider it only a suffix? I don't know, barrier nami masna. So maybe he would have to, maybe according to Barpada, he has to make a three-way tenai. Where he would have to say that as follows. He would have to say, if this is an aisle, then the whole thing is a then the whole thing is needed for the nesachim of it. If it's a keves, then part of it is nesachim for it, and part of it is voluntary. And if it's a barrier, we would say the whole thing would be nedava, because, you know, according to Barpada, you don't bring nesachim with such an animal at all. So therefore, the whole nesachim would be purely nedava, and then he wouldn't be yotze. So the question would be, according to Barpada, I think my answer is teku. We don't know. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan against Barpada, anyhow. So this particular question is not necessarily negay al halacha. The fact is, in any case, though, if a person does bring, in any of these cases, he brings the bird, which is with the yellow feathers, or he brings the palgus, it is true that either way he's not yotze. Okay, but Rabbi Zeira has another question in this connection as well. Here's another case, in other words, where we have, the Torah tells us two things, one of which is, the whole context that we're discussing over here, our Mishnah, and the following Mishnayos, are all things that it's either one or the other, but not both. So therefore, you have something which is, it's going to have to be, you can do one, you can do the other, but you don't have the in-between one. So like we said with the birds, it's either a baby Ben-Yona or an adult Tur, and nothing in between. As far as the animals, it's either a baby sheep or a ram, and nothing in between. Here's another case where there's no in-between. Or maybe there is an in-between, that's what we have to figure out. Namely, chometz and matzah. So, you know, we usually think chometz is chometz, matzah is matzah. There's no in-between. But in fact, as we touched on it, we did touch on this in Menachos, there is actually a stage in-between called si'ur, which is when the dough is just barely starting to rise, and as we're going to discuss now, you have different possible ways of understanding what stage is called seer, as we learned in Menachos, and as we'll talk about now. So now we can have the same kind of question. Boy Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira has the following question. Person says that I'm going to bring lachmei toda from chometz or from matzah. Namely, as we learned in Menachos, a great deal, we have a Korban Todah comes with 40 loaves of bread, 30 matzah, 10 chametz. So now he says that I'm going to bring either the chametz or the matzah. He hasn't specified yet which one. We're going to see soon. The Gemara is going to ask, how do you do that? You don't just bring the 10 loaves of chametz by themselves. You don't just bring the 30 loaves of matzah by themselves. So we'll get back to that point soon. But right now, let's take it as is, that he can, in fact, do that. So now the question is, the Hevi Si'ur, now if he brought bread made out of Si'ur, Mahu, then what would be the din? Is he Yotze his neder? Well, we have to figure out Si'ur Deman. Well, we have to figure out, when we talk about the definition of Si'ur, there are two definitions in the Mishnah, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Namely, as follows. The first thing that happens when dough starts becoming, is in the very early stages of becoming chametz, the first thing that happens is it turns pale. It turns a lighter color than it was. Then you have the next stage after that is it starts developing cracks. Because what happens is the reason that dough becomes chametz in the first place is there are yeasts, the little one-celled creatures, the yeasts start eating the sugar in the dough and converting it into alcohol and carbon dioxide. So the carbon dioxide eventually starts escaping and it forms cracks and eventually bubbles. So you have first it turns a paler color, then cracks start forming. So you have first like you have a couple of cracks, a couple of tiny cracks on the surface. And then you have more and more cracks and eventually bubbles develop. Now you have a machloikas Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda in Masechta Pesachim. Reb Meir considers as soon as it turns white, then that's the stage called Si'ur. There's no cracks yet, but already that's that in-between stage called Si'ur. Then Reb Yehuda still would consider that matzah, as we're gonna talk about over here. And in fact, according to Reb Yehuda, conceivably at that point, you could bake it and you could still eat it on Pesach and you'd be yotz, maybe even you'd be yotz in the mitzvah of matzah, but in a case you wouldn't be over on the Issur Chametz with it yet. Then you have, once it reaches the stage with the two cracks, that's what Reb Yehuda calls Si'ur. Reb Meir, though, would already say that's complete chametz. As the Gemara points out in Pesachim, Reb Meir says if you have two cracks on top, it means you have a whole lot more cracks underneath, below the surface, that you don't see yet. In fact, Tosfos points out that, points out that there are a number of things in which Reb Yehuda, therefore, is being more lenient against Reb Meir. First of all, according to Reb Meir, as soon as it turns pale, it's already considered Si'ur. So already there's an issur to eat it. There's already an issur to eat it. Even Reb Meir holds a person not chayav kares for it yet, but he already holds that it's also for him to eat. Reb Meir, in fact, would actually say he's chayav malchus for it. Reb Yehuda would hold, on the other hand, that it's full-fledged matzah still, and a person is perfectly allowed to eat it, and there's no, at most he's also derabanan, but there'd be no malchus involved. Then when you have the two quacks, Reb Meir would already say he's chayav kares, and Reb Yehuda would call it still, that's the point when it's seer, and in fact also, the Gemara explains there in Pesachim that Reb Yehuda would actually say that even, not only on top of that, the kind that Reb Yehuda calls seer, he holds a person who wouldn't be chayav malchus for. In other words, there's a sort of a double machloikas over here. Number one, what is the definition of seer versus chametz? And number two, is a person chayav malchus for seer? So the mayor makes seer to be only the original, only that first stage of turning white, turning pale, and Reb Yehuda allows an even later stage to be called Si'ur, and there's a further machloikas. So if a person eats Si'ur, as however it's defined, is he chayav malchus according to Reb Meir? Yes, according to Reb Yehuda, no. So now the Gemara says, well, what's the state? So a person said, I'm going to bring the lachmei todah either from chametz or matzah, whichever I want. The heavy siur, if now he brings dough which is at the siur stage, mahu, what would be the din? Well, the Gemara asks, siur deman, which definition of siur is Reb Zeir asking according to? Is siur de Reb Meir l'Reb Yehuda? If you mean Reb Meir's understanding of siur, namely that it's pale, but no cracks yet. Well, then Reb Yehuda matzah maliyasi. Well, according to Reb Yehuda, that's full-fledged matzah, and therefore, so of course you're yotze then matzah. So then, and if he brings siur, then he's yotze for matzah. Tosfos points out, midrabanan, yes, Reb Yehuda would agree that it's osur, but the fact is that But here we're talking at a Daraisa level, so therefore the question would be whether Rav Meir's definition of seer, which is only where it turned pale, Rav Yehuda would consider that matzah, at least on a Daraisa level, and therefore, so now, if this guy said, I'm going to bring either chometz or matzah, and he brought seer, Rav Yehuda would say, good, you were yotzeh, bringing the matzah for the Torah. Do we mean Rabbi Yehuda's definition of seer according to the mayor if he brought it? Of course, we know what it is. Chometzu, then according to the mayor, it's full-fledged chometz. So we would say he was yotze the part of chometz in this case. So for Pesach, he'd be chayv kares for eating it, but at least he would be yotze bringing the chometz for the Torah. The Idra Meir Little Meir, do you mean Reb Meir's definition of seer according to the mayor himself, meaning where it turned white, and Reb Meir, what would Reb Meir say about it? Well, we would say Midaloki Alei, given that a person gets Malkus for eating it, Reb Meir would hold he's not Chayiv Kares yet, but the fact that he gets Malkus implies Chometzu, that implies already it's to the point of Chometz. Now, it's called Chometz Nuksha. It's called literally chometz nuksha, means hardened or incomplete chometz. So therefore, he's not chayiv kares for it, but he is chayiv malkus for it. And as far as the Torah, the fact is chometz is chometz. By Torah, you don't have that distinction of malkus or not. So therefore, so he would be yotze bringing the chometz. So far, what is Reb Zera asking about? Either it's obvious that it's matzah, or it's obvious that it's chometz, where there's no gray area. Ela de Reb Yehuda, Lid of Yehuda. So now the question would be, Reb Zera's question would be Reb Yehuda's definition of seer according to Reb Yehuda himself. So the question would be, now Reb Yehuda himself is saying that there's no malchus for it. Where there's two cracks in it, where there's two tiny thin cracks in it, Reb Yehuda does say that a person is, that you do have to burn it before Pesach, because it's going to be chometz. On the other hand, he says that a person who eats it is potter from malchus, so it's not really chometz. So in other words, according to him, it's kind of a suffix. So now that's the question. Elo de Rabbi Yehuda, de Rabbi Yehuda. So the question would be, Rabbi Yehuda's definition of seer, according to Rabbi Yehuda himself, if the person brought that for the Lachmei Torah, then what would we say, is he yotze his neder or not? So what's the deal? Seika havya, would we say according to Rabbi Yehuda, basically it's a suffix, the nafik memanafshach, so one way or the other, he's yotze. He said he's going to bring the lachmei Torah, either the chometz or the matzah ones. Well, either this is chometz or this is matzah. Again, maybe as a practical matter, we can't offer it on, maybe as a practical matter, we can't offer it because we don't know whether we should make it into the chometz loaves or into the matzah loaves. Or once he made it into the loaves, what would be the din? By the way, we learned in Menachos the chometz loaves and the matzah loaves are different sizes as well. But fine, we also said over there that if you brought them as fuel chalas or as more than you are yotzeh, so you could conceivably have where you could say it was baked, having been seer before it was baked. And the question is which one he was yotzeh with, and we would say so maybe then he is yotzeh. Maybe seer is considered a real third stage of its own, and therefore is not yotze, because the loaves of the Torah have to be one or the other, either chometz or matzah. There can't be anything in between. So that's the question. We don't have the answer yet. We're going to discuss that, is going to get to the answer further on. But before that, anyway, we have to figure out what's the scenario. Didn't we learn in Menachos that Rav Huna says that if a person says I obligate myself to bring lachmei Torah, maybe Torah v'lachma, he has to bring the Torah together with its bread. Because there's no such thing as bread without a Torah. So when he says, I'm going to bring Lachmei Torah, then automatically it means that he's going to bring the Torah itself. So what's even the question over here? We're saying that he has to bring a Torah, and he has to bring, therefore, the whole 40 loaves together with it. In fact, Rashi points out, we assume the average person knows this, which is why Rav Huna can say that if he said, I'm going to bring Lachmei Torah, then he has to bring the whole thing. So, the kivin is chayv le betoida v'lachma. Well, if he's chayv to bring the toida with all 40 loaves, holo yoda hai gavra I chometzu delaisi matzah. So he doesn't know. He himself is not going to know. Is this seer considered chometz? And then he's yotze the chometz with it. Delaisi matzah, and now he has to bring matzah. I matzahu delaisi chometz. Or is it matzah, and he has to bring the chometz? So what are you telling me that he... what he might, what he's telling me, he might be yotze his neder one way or the other. Even if we say Rashi says, even if it's not a beria, as a practical matter, how can he be yotze? Shitabukubetzis brings a different gear say in Rashi. Once he's chayiv in all of them, then look, the fact is, yes, he does have to bring all of them. So what's the scenario where we'd say that we have the question whether he was yotze one or the other? And the answer is Lo Tzricha, the case that Reb Zeira needs to ask the question, he says, I'm obligating myself to bring Chala to be motzi somebody else's toida. Namely, he knows if somebody else is bringing a korban toida, he knows that person doesn't have the bread for it, can't afford it, or whatever. So he says that this guy is bringing a toida, I'm bringing bread along with it. So he says, I'm going to bring 10 loaves of bread for it, but he didn't specify which ones. So he doesn't know, therefore. So is the seer going to work as a matzah, and therefore he's he said, I'm going to bring 10 chalas to be pater in somebody else's toida. So now he's not chayiv, himself in all 40. So therefore, so the question is, he brought 10. Which 10 is a yotze? Well, the Gemara says, follow Yada, I gather, Chometzu Delaisi Matza, Imatzu Delaisi Chometz. Okay, but still, he himself is not going to know whether what he brought is considered Chometz. Again, following Rabbi Huda's definition of Seer and his opinion of it, when it first develops cracks, and Rabbi Huda says it's not considered full Matza anymore, but it's not considered full Chometz either. It's called, as we said before, Chometz Nuksha. So he himself is not going to know whether what he brought is chometz, and now the other guy is going to have to bring the 30 loaves of matzah, or the other way, or is this one of the 10 of matzah, and the other guy's going to have to bring chometz. So the answer is, so what do you mean? Lifto todos eshel chaver eshel ploini. The fact is, it's not going to actually work. And the answer is, loit tzricha, deloit oma lifter. The answer is, well, he didn't actually use the word lifter. He just said, I'm going to bring 10 chalas towards ploini's toida. So now that means, in other words, so he's not chayiv in the toida itself, he's only chayiv in 10 loaves. Now, of course, the other guy is not going to be potter with it. The other guy, in practice, is going to have to bring 40 full loaves. And this guy also never said, I'm going to potter him. He just said, I'm going to bring, he thought that maybe he can bring it together with the other guy's matzah or something. And what we would do is then we would take these 10 loaves that he bought, we would go and redeem them from Hektish for money, and then we would use that towards another korban toida or something like that. But what does it work? Was it the chometz, or was it the matzah fundamentally? So the Gemara says again, so the question is, so he didn't say lifter, but the question is, meipak gavri yedei nidrei nafik, but at least as far as this person being yotze is neder, is he yotze? Because the fact is, he brought something that could be either chometz or matzah. Or maybe we would say that not. Again, we would say maybe it's considered a separate thing of its own, a beria, like we said before, a loy nafik, so therefore he wouldn't be yotze is neder. And again, the Gemara says teiku. Tosfos brings up the point that so Rashi is saying what you would do is with this extra bread, then, as we would be poider and we would take the money and give it to Nadava, we would end up using it for a different toida, or maybe that doesn't work, and then the Gemara is leaving that question open. Tosfos points out that doesn't really work. He said he's going to bring it for somebody else's korban, so if he redeems it before the korban is shechted, then it doesn't mean anything. It only becomes kaddish when we shecht the korban, as we learned in Menachas. So he obviously wasn't yotzei as neder, and if the korban was already shechted, then we can't be poider them anymore. So Tosfos discusses, you have something along the lines of, we learned a case in Menachos where a person brings a toida together with 80 loaves of bread, where he only needs 40, and the question is, do 40 out of 80 of them become kaddish or not? So we have the question, 40 of them become kaddish, what happens to the other 40? So here would be the same kind of thing. But in any case, so the question, so we leave it, we leave it as teiku. And therefore, so we don't know whether the guy would be yotze his, neder in this case. Actually, there's a relevant Gemara in Menachos that actually ends up saying differently, that says that actually it is considered beria, and it's actually, and therefore it would come out based on that our Gemara would actually, that actually the answer in our Gemara would be that in fact he's not yotze. It really is considered a beria, a separate category of its own, and therefore he said he's going to bring either matzah or chometz, and in this case it's neither one.